net to, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted that.
That's medical office.
Wonderful. All right, Commissioner Gashani, you feel, so I think we're all feeling comfortable with just removing, removing that condition. So, okay, wonderful. And also, I did remember we, I'd love to have staff speak to the other memorandum that you have for this project as well. We haven't talked about this yet. If you want to also talk on that, and then we can see if there's a motion.
I have prepared a draft of a motion, and now I need to add the customer and employment visit also to that. But did you want Doshi to read?
Yes, I think that would be
into the record.
Yes.
Did you want the whole thing to be read?
At least, I don't think they're the whole thing. I mean, at least just kind of, yeah, the motion, and maybe to give a little, a small brief overview of what, you know, yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's probably wrapped up in the motion, so.
Background recommendation analysis. Okay, why don't we have Doshi read the first two pages all the way to the end of proposed condition of approval, so that it's in the record,
sure.
And then I'll read the motion.
That sounds
with
great.
With the additional removal of the client and employment.
That sounds wonderful. Condition.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. So before the condition is removed.
No, all the way down.
Oh, all the way.
Start from back
then. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Commissioners. I'm going to read the memorandum for the use permit tonight as supplemental communication. After the ZAP packet publication was released on July 3rd, 2025, a minor error was identified in the staff report. The memo provides clarifying information for ZAP review and a proposed condition of approval. The recommendation is to receive the supplemental communication that clarifies the project record and approve the project with the proposed condition of approval. Analysis is that the proposed project is to convert four existing commercial units into live-work units. The conversion is subject to general live-work standards as contained in the BMC, section 23.312.040. It reads that live-work units are required to have 50% of floor area dedicated to workspace. Specifically in section A1B, adequate and clearly defined working space, which constitutes no less than 50% of the gross floor area of the live-work units, is required. The working space must be reserved for and regularly used by one or more live-work unit residents and be consistent with city administrative guidelines for live-work design. If the workspace is less than 60% or less than 50% in units created by change of use from a dwelling unit, the unit is considered a dwelling unit and is subject to all requirements applicable to the dwelling unit. All four units have existing kitchens located on the first floor, which have been used as part of the workspace since the original occupancy. The kitchens were established as part of the workspace use and will continue to serve as a workspace and the newly created residential uses. For the purposes of the floor area compliance, the kitchen will be counted towards the workspace floor area, which demonstrates compliance with section 23.312.040. This interpretation is consistent with BMC 23.312.010B, which provides flexibility for the conversion of existing buildings. In 23.312.010, which is the chapter purpose, item section B, it says provide flexibility as needed for the development of live-work units, particularly within existing buildings. So the project complies with the dwelling unit requirements of BMC Chapter 23, specifically regarding height and usable open space. Plan modifications are not required for this requirement. So there is an added proposed condition approval, which would be read. The staff did speak with applicant prior to meeting and informed them that the proposed conditions of approval to modify the floor area of at the time of building permit submittal and read is up below. It's going to be titled live workspace minimum. So at the time of the building permit submittal, the applicant shall submit a revised floor plan to reflect that each live work unit contains a minimum of 50% of gross floor area dedicated to workspace, which again is in compliance with BMC section 23.312.040A1B. The plans shall clearly label all live and work areas.
Wonderful. Thank you, staff. Does anyone have any comments or questions about that? Yeah, Commissioner Chang.
I had a question because
My understanding was it is 50% needs to be workspace, but that section that you just read, at the top of page 2 of the supplemental, says if the workspace is less than 60%.
If I may, I got an answer because I was going through it too. But if it's less than 60, but it's that's only if it's or less than 50 if created by change of use from a dwelling unit, but it's not a change of use from a dwelling unit. Is that right?
Right, it's changed from workspace.
From work.
I can clarify about this.
Yeah.
So there is a section of the code that requires for live work to be considered a live work, it has to have a 50% minimum work area of the total gross floor area. So that's one thing. And then there is another section where it says if the work area is under 60% of the total gross floor area, the development standard of a dwelling unit in the underlying zoning district would kick in this case MUR. And so the standards we looked at were the bike parking and the usable open space, and the project already meets the usable open space and does not require bike. So those requirements are considered. The only thing that needs to be revised at this point is that the plans at the time of building permit submittal are revised to show clearly that the work area is at the minimum 50%. And out of the 4 units, 2 are already meeting that. There are only unit 924 and 6? 924 and 926 that are a little less than the 50%. So that's the reason for the memo.
How is everyone feeling about them? You can feel free to ask them a question if you have one. Turn off your microphones too if you're not talking. I'd say there we go, perfect. But yes, does anyone need any more clarity on that? I want to make sure everyone's comfortable with this condition.
I just would like to discuss if I can continue
course,
the discussion.
Yeah.
Or just like I think I see the conflict here. You're recognizing a conflict, but that's in the Berkeley Municipal Code that's being cited, but it's not in our conditions here. Right? But you're just noticing that in the cover of the memorandum that we have here, right? You go to the bottom, or you look at 50%, you know, under the analysis, you're saying it says 50% of floor area dedicated to workspace. If you look at subsection B, this is what you're talking about, right? Adequate and clearly defined working space constituting no less than 50 is required. So, okay, 50-50 sounds great. And then you go a little further, and then it says, however, if you're less than 60, it's a dwelling unit. Okay, so thank you. I'm just repeating it back so I understand. I'm sorry to confuse. So that's difficult. Like that doesn't. It's but we're not considering a dwelling unit, correct?
Right.
But we're suggesting that the workspace is 50%, or needs to be 50%. We can't do anything about a contradictory sub clause in the Berkeley Municipal Code right now, but good. Good to know about it, I guess. So what do we do? That's a question. I'm sure there are more, but we don't need to, what do we do?
But so Commissioner Duffy's point that since it isn't at least in our conditions of approval, and at least that condition we are adding does at least feel very clear on what we're defining it as, even if the municipal code is confusing.
And
Commissioner Allen?
Yeah. I hate to stir the pot, but it's my understanding that the building code will supersede the municipal code and will require it to be 50-50. So even if we have funky language in the municipal code, the building code's going to catch it. And it would be fantastic for staff just to keep a running list of like, hey, at ZAB, this language came up and it's could be improved, and you could pass it along to your colleagues who do cleanup for the Planning Commission, please.
Wonderful. No, this is always a very interesting part of the job that we do, because indeed, this is why we just go through the code and read it. And yeah, because indeed, it's human written. So as everyone said, I appreciate all the clarity we have, I think, on both the removal of the condition and the addition of one. So we have everyone here who's speaking in person, and we have actually no one online today. So we are good on, I would entertain a motion.
make a motion.
Perfect. Would you like to?
Second.
Second, perfect. All right, and the motion is to, let me get my agenda up. Here we go, to approve the use permit for 924 to 930 Carlton Street with the removal of, what condition was the?
6D.
6D, so removal of condition 6D and the addition. Which one?
Of condition 7,
thank you. See, let me make sure, yeah, staff has that. And then the addition of the condition as written in our memorandum. Perfect, okay. And so that was a motion by Commissioner Vachani and a second by Commissioner Sanderson.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a try.
Well, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So just to be clear, you're removing D completely?
Because No, it was, D, you said, or.
Say it again more slowly.
Okay, that was, sorry.
I will also spell it out.
Okay, there you go.
Do you want me to?
Yes, okay. Yes, please do.
Okay, so we have a motion from Commissioner Kaushani and a second from Commissioner Sanderson to approve the consent calendar with the action minute as recommended by staff and approve the proposed project at 924 to 930 Carlson Street with the additional memorandum provided by staff, adding a condition that at the time of building permit submittal, the applicant shall submit a revised floor plan to reflect that each live-work unit contains a minimum of 50% of gross floor area dedicated to workspace in compliance with BMC, Berkeley Municipal Code Section 23.312.040A1B, and remove the condition required per BMC 23.312.040A3AB, to require a use permit for employment, client, and customer visit, as stated in the report as condition 360.
Okay, that makes sense.
So one permit, one condition was added to address what happens at building permit stage, and one was removed, even though it's repeating what's in the ordinance, we don't need to add it as a condition of approval. So we're taking D out.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the clarity from everyone. And I think we feel comfortable to vote now, so whenever you're ready, staff. So once again, this is voting on the we're voting on the consent calendar with those changes. So said, this is a vote on the consent calendar. So actually, you said, so it would be a motion to approve the consent calendar with those conditions. Sorry, actually, to clarify that.
Okay, Commissioner Duffy.
Yes.
Chair Gaffney.
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson.
Yes.
Commissioner Ching?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi? Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Kaushani?
Yes, of course.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, sorry. The motion passes. Sorry, you said Commissioner Sanderson being last. The motion passes, and you will have your use permit 14 days after the notice of decision is mailed. During those 14 days, that is the appeal period. So, yeah, wonderful. Thank you all for working that out. And that is the only thing. We have no action items on our agenda today. And the only other thing we have now is subcommittee reports. And Michael, would you like to do our subcommittee report? I'll pull it up and help, but you do a great job. So please feel free to take her away.
All right, we'll see what happens. So we had a design review committee meeting and on June 19th. So a couple of properties we reviewed. One was 2942 College Ave. And
I don't remember if I spoke, if we spoke about that here or not, but that is the property that's on College. They brought it back to DRC again, made some changes. We had provided recommendations on both the College side as well as the apartment side in the back, and the architects brought it back. It looked much better. We had some additional comments to make, and so they're going to revise that and bring it back to DRC again, I believe.
For final design review.
Final.
So what was kind of interesting about this project is since it wasn't a SB 330 project, and truly it was not ready to come to ZAB when it was first presented to us, we asked them to come back and have an additional preliminary design review, and they did. And yeah, they came back, and they certainly, it's a much, you know, it's a tighter building now. They've done a good job on it. It still has, it's very contemporary for the neighborhood. But I think they did a nice job, and it has some really lovely residential units, and it really fits with the height of the neighborhood, and yeah, it'll be a nice addition, and it will be coming here next, and then it'll be coming to final design review with us. So you guys will see it soon. And then do you want to talk about, yeah, the next one?
Yeah, and the next property we reviewed was 2442 Haste Street. That's on the corner of Haste and Telegraph. It's a three-story historic home. It's right off the corner of Telegraph. So if you're going down Telegraph, you turn left onto Haste on one-way street. It's the second building next to it, and it's kind of like a mustard color building. And it's going to be replaced with an eight-story a residential building with 36 units. It has one very low income unit and one extremely low income unit. And we also had a lot of discussion about the design of it, both interior and exterior. And they are also going to bring that property back to DRC again after some revisions. There were some challenges in the very front of it with the PG&E transformer. And how to make that not be the center focus of the building. So I think we got some good ideas. It's an interesting color palette too, so you guys should see some interesting in a good way.
Yeah, it's a KDA project, and they are definitely known for their fun color palettes. And that's one thing we'll be discussing at design review, final design review when it comes back. This one was interesting. They used, in order to break up the massing, they used kind of vertical ways to break it up. So it's a very long-looking building versus sometimes breaking it up more with the horizontal bands. They did indeed make them put the giant transformer that takes up half of the front bottom facade. So it'll be interesting to see how they make that kind of go away in final design review. So yeah, Commissioner Thompson.
And I will say that there is a discussion of the new properties and making sure that they don't look all the same. Because like we've got some kind of repeats around the city, and we want to keep it interesting, but without making it look gimmicky. So there is a lot of attention toward making some fresh design too.
And Commissioner Thompson has been a fantastic addition, and we're very lucky to have him. And yeah, so that is our subcommittee report. Does staff have anything they need to add? Nope, we're all good. Yeah, Commissioner Sanders. Yeah, also now the time for anyone else. Commissioner Sanderson.
I noticed we have a new template for the staff report, and I don't know who someone worked with on ZAB when they went to the new template, but I would like to have at the next meeting someone explain why they dropped certain things out that some of us found useful.
I will let the planning manager know.
Okay,
and
thank you.
We'll provide context.
Wonderful, I think that will be incredibly
second.
Helpful. Perfect, yes. And I will write that down, and also said I'm sure staff will remember, but I think that'll be incredibly helpful. Does anyone else have any final thoughts? Yeah, Mr. Thompson.
Some months ago, we were having a discussion, and it was brought up about the impact of all the new developments and what kind of impact are we making in terms of, making an impact on our you know, most importantly, homeless situation, but just kind of with all the building, kind of what's going on? Because we hear the public saying, oh, you know, the new properties are not being filled. When we feel like we want to make, you know, a difference with providing enough units. And I'm just wondering if that's a possibility to see what, if someone could come and give us a report of, you know, what is the difference in actual numbers? Or is that outside the scope of this discussion here?
I mean, I think I would obviously find that to be very interesting if that is something. Yeah, I was going to say, is that something, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, it takes, obviously, it's a lot of data they're collecting. Is there ever a time where we could seize any of that data or have someone present any of that to us? Oh, yeah, does anyone also know? Vice Chair Young.
One thing I do know is the city collects data on all its building permits and certificates of occupancy for the previous year in April of the current year. So now we have data for 2024 that was finalized in April. I think that I saw that staff gave a presentation on that data to the city council. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, it would be cool to do a informational, you know, for us.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Or at least to find where we where that information can be accessed to, you know, because I've thought about that for a while too. Maybe staff can put their heads together and we can also figure out where that information is located. And then we could discuss it here.
If there's a presentation then.
Oh, so that, oh yeah, that.
There
that
was a presentation of the council meeting. Get the date of the council meeting. And
that's very smart. Yeah. So, anyways, well, yeah. We can look into that. I think that would be really, really interesting and very helpful for us to know what kind of impact we really are making. Does anyone have any final things? Or all right, then I will make a motion to close the committee.
I just want to say I was looking at the minutes from the DRC meeting, and I was just reflecting upon the fact that a while ago, you know, we used to see things like unfavorable recommendations, but I was just really admiring how collaborative the recommendations that are now, you know, coming forward are, and the kind of really good faith, really constructive kind of recommendations that I've been seeing, despite the fact that I wasn't actually there, but just was cool reading that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's a really good, we have a really good time over there, and it's a really wonderful collaborative process. And truly, it feels like a very round table discussion. It's a lot more intimate feeling than this.
I second your motion, too.
Yes. Okay. We can get out of here. Okay, we do need a roll call vote. Sorry, we need a roll call vote for. Can't leave yet.
Can you please repeat the motion on second?
Oh, yep. I made a motion to adjourn the meeting, Commissioner Sanderson seconded that.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chairperson Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
Commissioner Ching?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi? Vice Chair Young? Commissioner?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Kashani?
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. I will see you all in a couple weeks.